Hello, my friends. Katie Day with the Move Me to Texas team here with another episode of the Real Advice Podcast. Please join me in welcoming this week's guest to the show. She is born and raised in South Florida, got into real estate back in 2009, jumped in, and between her sales and negotiation skills with her creative marketing, she quickly found a lot of success and propelled her to the top 1% of realtors in Florida and in Broward County. I'm excited to dig in with her today. Please join me in welcoming Jamie Seneca to the podcast. What's going on?
What's up, Katie? Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for hopping on. So when I was like looking at your bio and looking up your stuff, you got into real estate in 2009. And so like knowing Florida and the real estate market then, that was probably a pretty wild time. So what like prompted you to get into real estate?
It was so wild. It was like the worst time, but the best time to get into real estate. I was actually going to school to be a nurse. Okay. And once I was going through that process, I was like, you know what? I can only take care of my family. Like I pass out at the sight of blood. Like this isn't going to work.
Yeah. Probably not a great idea to go into healthcare.
Not a great idea. Yeah. So I had to nix that, and I was bartending and doing, I was a stylist at Nordstrom at the time. And then I decided, I'm like, what am I going to do where I can make my own hours? And, you know, the sky's the limit. And real estate was that, because I was always fascinated in, about real estate. And that's kind of how that happened. Yeah.
So interesting that you started down the nursing path, like not liking blood. I've never liked it. So that was never an option for me. It was never on the table, right? Like, you know, even when I see like weird TikToks that like, you know, I scroll past very, very quickly.
Very quickly.
But yeah, so like just knowing everything that went on in Florida, you know, with you know, the early 2000s to the crash, like I'm sure it was an interesting time to get into real estate. So how was it like the first few years down there in South Florida?
Yeah, it was really, really challenging because I got into the market where obviously we're in a recession, the housing prices slashed, we're dealing with short sales, foreclosures. A lot of my first like 2 years was just learning the business and everything was just at a really low price point. So I was barely making any money. It was really, really challenging. I had to go to my parents at the time to help me out with my bills just so I can get my experience in and kind of take it to the next level. So it was hard. Yeah.
Well, you made it through. Congratulations.
I did, yeah.
It's like get that first
made it out on the other side.
Yeah. It's, you know how they always say that like the failure rate for real estate is so high, you know, and so they're like, you know, the first renewal or the first 5 years are always the worst. And I'm always like, now I've like made it past both of those, you know, and I'm always like, oh, maybe this isn't, I'm like, no, I've made it through many, many renewals at this point. But so you got into real estate. At what point did you start a team?
I actually started a team right after I had my daughter. So she was born in 2018.
Okay.
So that's when I was always like a small micro team with like a part-time assistant at the time, but then to scale the team was when my daughter was born.
Yeah. Well, and so, I mean, that was like almost, you know, 8-9 years
ago,
kind of on your own. So at what point did you, hire the assistant?
When I started getting really busy, hired my first hire was an assistant. He was actually a past client of mine turned assistant, now works with me, which is pretty awesome. But yeah, I was probably doing, I don't even know, maybe like 45 transactions a year. And then I had a part-time assistant. So it was just me and him running around town doing our thing. And then when I had my daughter in 2018 was when I was like, okay, I need the leverage. I need
change
help.
A little bit, yeah.
I need to change this up and grow it. Yeah.
Well, and so in hiring an assistant, like I feel like people always have difficulty pulling the trigger on their first hire, you know, because it's like, oh, well, I'm committing to someone and, you know, they're going to be relying on me for a paycheck. And how do I even find someone? So like, what advice would you give to someone if they're kind of in that point, you know, where their business has reached a point where they can't really handle it all on their own? They need some sort of help. And so they do want to hire an assistant or something like that. Like, what advice could you give, you know, thinking back to when you first hired? You know, yours.
Don't overthink it and just do it. Like come up with a plan, make sure you can financially, you know, afford it. And there's even times where you can't financially afford something and you're like, you know what? I just know it's going to work. So I'm going to buffer a certain amount of time just to make sure that it could happen. But I would just say, just don't overthink it. Cause I think that's what's got in my way in growth and not growing as fast as I would like. I mean, I'm happy where we are now, but in hindsight, if we would have just and a little bit quick to pull the trigger, I could definitely see, you know, me being in a completely different place.
Well, and I feel like a lot of times it's like, you know, you look at how much you'd be paying someone for the year. And so say it is a part-time person, it'd be like 20 grand for the year, 30 grand for the year. Like, I don't have $30,000 today, but it's like, you know, could you afford the next 90 days? Could you afford the next 6 months or whatever that that looks like? And a lot of times when you break it down a little bit more micro, you're like, oh, of course I can afford that. And I'm totally going to close more homes between now and then, especially, you know, at the rate you were closing, you know, 45 homes a year, you're closing a few a month, right? So the money is coming in, and normally with more time, you can normally close more deals.
Yeah. And you're betting on yourself. So it's like, if you're not going to show up, you know what I mean? Like,
you got to
show up. So,
which, you know, that's a lot of pressure you're putting on me here, Jamie. All right. Like, cut that out. Okay. So you started a team in 2018, part of it out of necessity, right? You're having a kid. So you're like, okay, gotta figure out how I could get a little bit more time back in the schedule. But I don't know about for you, but for me, when I started my team, I made less money that first quarter. That was my worst quarter in real estate ever. And I didn't have more time, at least, you know, in the short term. So what would you say were some mistakes, like, in starting the team that you were like, oh, if I could redo it again, this is how I would do things differently, or how I maybe would have changed things a little bit? Do you have any, like, experiences from that?
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely the first year, 2 years, I mean, it's not the most lucrative at all. Everyone thinks, oh, you start a team and you make all this money, and it's like completely opposite, you know. Definitely. What advice that I would give is really just don't be afraid. Like, you know, you're going to fail, but failures lead to successes, right? And that's what gets us to where we are in life, right? Like, every successful person is built off of a ridiculous amount of failures and everything that they've been through to get where they are. So don't be afraid to just take chances. Is really what I would say. Yeah.
No, I would agree completely. And, like, I always think back to, like, things that we did that I wouldn't say failures, but, like, learning lessons is what I'd like to call
learning
them.
Learning opportunities,
you know?
Are more.
Yeah.
More the word.
No, but, you know, looking back on things, it's like the things that we did that maybe weren't a home run, or the hires that we had that weren't the right fit. It's like, now I know what we want and what we don't want, right? And so you have to go through some of those things throughout building an organization out and building a team that, like, you would, if you just let everyone on and let everyone stay, you know, you wouldn't be the team that you are today. Right. And so, I finally look back on a lot of that, like, you know, that might not have been the best hire, but, like, we learned a lot by working with them for a little while, kind of thing.
Yeah. And that's what we're doing now. Honestly, we're hiring people based on standards, which I think is a lot easier to, you know, coach each other up to that. Yeah. And then know that I think it's just an easier way to bring people on, you know, setting all, like, the manageable expectations of, you know, we're here to make money and service clients and, you know, make sure we're all here to be a team player together. Yeah.
Well, so when you say that, like, you mean salespeople coming onto the team, like, you have certain levels. So is that, like, levels of sales that you expect, or experience that you expect, or, like, things that they're going to do once they're on the team, or what does that look like?
Level of sales to expect, because not everyone wants to sell the same amount of real estate, right? Like, I might want to sell 100 houses a year, where someone's perfectly fine selling 10 or whatever.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, that part's hard, but, you know, just setting, that's what I started doing was, like, I didn't want to bring on just everybody.
Yeah.
Because we learned that, like, just sometimes it's just personalities don't work, or things don't fit, or, you know, someone says they hustle and they don't. And it's just, it's a hard balance.
I feel like you're going through the list of former teammates.
Fortunately, we don't have a really high attrition rate yet, and I hope that we don't.
I think that's good. And having those specific benchmarks and specific things is helpful, because then it's like, you know, everyone's on the same, like, playing field, everyone's on the same path, right? But, like, you're going to choose what your path looks like depending on, you know, how many properties you sell or things like that. And I think for me, that was one of my biggest things. You know, you said this, like, you may want to sell 100 homes, but someone else may only want to sell 10. Like, I can't want you to sell 100 homes, you know, like, if you don't want it, I can't make you want it. And so that was a big thing for me, like, in leadership, like, okay, if your goal is 20, then, like, I've got to be all, like, really all in that your goal is 20. Maybe I help you sell 21, but, like, you're not going to sell 40. So,
yeah,
you know, It is what it is.
Exactly.
So you recently opened up a brokerage a couple years back. How long? What was that? 2022?
So what year are we in now? 24. Oh my gosh. It's been busy. Oh my God.
Yeah. You're like, I'm just selling houses and keeping us going here, guys.
I'm trying. So I started 2 years ago. It was a year ago in December.
Awesome.
But we were kind of quiet for it the year prior. So, just trying to get the office together and building. So we'll be going on 2 years. Yeah.
I love the mural behind you. So that's fun. What advice would you give to someone, like if they're kind of at that point where they're deciding on like starting a team or a brokerage, like of things, like, as you said, like there's a lot of behind the scenes stuff that like a lot of times we don't think about, right? And starting a team or starting a brokerage. What would be some things that you'd be like, make sure you think about this before you dive all in on it?
I would say things don't have to be perfect. Just start implementing and you can plug your holes as your ship starts to sink. You know what I mean? Because I made that mistake in the beginning. Like I wanted everything perfect, right? Like I was a small team with a part-time assistant. I didn't have SOPs and I wasn't built like a freaking, like a large corporation. And I had to just like rip everything apart and just kind of start going. And I think I would say I didn't implement as quickly as I would like. So I would say like my biggest thing looking back is implement faster and you could fix everything as you go and as you realize what you need.
Yeah.
That was my experience so far. So now we're hiring people, which is great.
Putting pressure on the systems often makes you realize sometimes you have no systems and you've got to put them together. I know for us, like our SOPs have been developed over time and it's often when we're creating them or changing them, it's because something happened in a transaction or something happened, that we're like, oh, we actually don't have a thing to like go A, B, C, D for this. So like, let's put this into our SOPs so that like when this happens again, we handle it smoother than we just did. I think that as a team leader, if you're starting going from a team to a brokerage or, if you're moving brokerages or anything like that, like my biggest advice is always just like, just keep focused on selling, and keep focused on servicing your clients and we can figure out everything else later. Like, we'll figure out the paperwork. We'll figure out the things, just like do the things that, and we'll work on all the rest later. So always good times. Okay. So you just said like, you're looking to grow, and expand the team and the brokerage and things like that. And so, I often find like some of the best advice or some of the most used advice is like, people are like, if you're getting into real estate, you're brand new, like join a team. Mm-hmm. But like, as you know, not all teams are created equal, right? So like, what advice would you give to an agent if they were just starting out on like what they should look for in a brokerage or a team? Like, what questions should they be asking? What should they be doing to like vet what you're saying kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they really should be, looking at how does that brokerage operate, right? What's their mentorship opportunities like? What type of, systems and processes do you have in place that they can plug into and scale their own business? Culture is a big thing too. I would go into brokerages team meetings and see what their meetings are like or get a feel for what their accountability is. Just really immerse yourself in what that culture is like to see if it could really be a good fit for you. But I 100% like going back, like I would join a team or a that fit for me if I was brand new.
It's funny, everything that you said, not funny, but what's funny is you didn't mention leads. You didn't mention splits. You didn't mention like the top questions. Cause I know you probably get it when people are like, hey, I'm looking to join a brokerage or I'm looking to join a team. Like, are y'all hiring? And they're like, okay, well, what are your splits? And I'm like, well, let's first talk about all of the things that we do, of the things that you just said, right? Like, what is our culture like? What does our accountability look like? What are all of these things? Like, let me give you some case studies of agents that went from selling 3 homes a year to selling 30. Like, here are all the things that we do and what our community will do for you, right? And like, does your split matter if you're making 6 figures? I don't know,
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, it doesn't even matter what split you're at because it's like 100% of 0 is 0, right? So it's like,
math does math.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's all very helpful. I love the like, hey, like coming into a meeting or a training, right? Because I think, you know, it's weird for real estate agents, especially if this is like, you know, you're just getting into this career, because it's like, if I'm an agent interviewing brokerages, like I'm more in the driver's seat than you would be as the broker owner, right? Like I'm interviewing brokerages, like, you know, and obviously you have a say if I join or not, but like, I feel like agents more so have the upper hand, but they don't always feel that way, right? Or they don't always, because like when you come out of a career world, like you're used to going into job interviews, right? And so I feel like agents should be a little bit more discerning. They should try to come into a team meeting or a training to see like if what you're saying is actually true. Because everyone's going to talk about how great they are.
Yeah, and I don't think people really, not all the time, but I just don't know if agents know that they can do that, right? Because it's not really customary. Like you typically meet with a broker and you have your meeting and then they want to hire anyone and everybody, which is not the way that we work, you know, same. But yeah. So maybe people just don't even realize that that is something that's an option.
I always also tell people that, right? Because it's like, one, I want you to like experience that with us, right? By coming to a team meeting and just like kind of seeing how that works. But like, I also kind of want to point out that like most people aren't offering that, like the local, you know, Remax or Keller Williams just like, yep. So you just sign here and you're in, you know, and they're not like, you know, saying like, we'll come back tomorrow for our call night or come back on Wednesday for our team meeting. They're just like, yep. Like you just sign up and it's easy, easy peasy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know. I think that it's a good part from a leadership perspective as well. Like I like doing it, 'cause it's like, if you and I mesh really well and I really like you, but then you come into a team meeting and like, you don't talk to anyone, you like sit in the corner and like, you don't introduce yourself or you don't shake anyone's hand. I'm like, okay, well, like she was really nice to me, but she was kind of rude to the team. Like, is this going to be a good fit? I don't know.
Like, you
know?
That's true.
So, all right. So switching gears a little bit from like the team and brokerage stuff, as far as like kind of current lead pillars and things like that, like what does your group kind of focus in on as far as where your business is coming from right now?
Yeah, a lot of our business is farms. Well, that was like originally where I started out with my individual production, was through all of my farms and all of that. But now we are really getting very heavily focused on seller lead opportunities. And then we have exclusive lead partnerships with some online portals like realty.com and Easy Home Search.
Nice.
So we have a lot of lead opportunities that we're pumping into the company.
That's an interesting mix, right? Yeah. Because I feel like, you know, some of that's like a lot more, you know, organic based, right? And then you have the online lead conversion, which like doesn't always compute. Like I know our team is very organic based. And so whenever we have PPC leads or things like that come through, they're always like, we've got to call them 37 times before they respond. So have you had any of that difficulty, or with the portals, is it a little bit better because they're normally a little bit further down the funnel?
There's still some that's very much top of funnel, bottom of funnel. And all the PPC leads take like 365 days on average to convert. It's like horrible, but not really horrible, because once you follow up to the amount of times that you're supposed to, you'll convert them. So I'm always a big believer in having multiple pillars of business. So we definitely have a large organic growth, our organic focus in the community, a lot of community events that we do. Adding the PPC side was a little bit different for me, but I'm actually really enjoying the conversion of it, because it's like, I feel like it's a math equation where it's like, okay, how many can we convert this month? And we're actually getting really, really good at it, which is awesome. So it's like, once you learn that system and process too, it just makes it so much more easier to manage.
But, well, and what's great about stuff like that with like PPC and things is like, if you get the appropriate follow-up cadence, right? And then you get you train the team to like understand the right things to say, then it's like you can turn up the spend, right? Yeah. And get more leads that you know how to convert, right?
But exactly.
It's like you see people go in, they're like, oh yeah, I'm gonna spend $5,000 a month on PPC, and like
they just have
an influx of leads that they don't do anything with. So no, I love that. You said a lot of community stuff, you know, digging deep in your farm and in your local community. What's like your favorite community event that y'all do?
So we do a holiday cookie crawl every year, and it's so awesome. It's
Tell me more about this.
It's so cool. We're going to get Santa there this year and do some really extra awesome things. But we opened it up to one of my farm communities that I farm and sell a lot of homes in. So we invite all the neighbors and we do like an interactive kind of like Disney style map, if you will, where we plug in all the houses of everyone that wants to sign up for the cookie crawl. And then we do 21 and over tables and then ones that are geared towards kids. So you know exactly like what cookies are at each house, who has what adult beverage. And it's kind of like trick-or-treating, but for holiday cookies. And all the neighbors are out on their driveway and we're walking around getting cookies and rum chata. And it's just really awesome.
So you can just like, go from house to house and like they have cookies and then like you go to the next house and like have a drink.
Exactly. Like, and then some houses have holiday movies on their front lawn. So you could stop for a movie or talk to the neighbors. It's gotten really, really big. So I'm excited to see the turnout for
this
year.
That's fun. And so you guys like kind of handle the logistics and like, you know, here's the map and here's who's doing what kind of
thing. Yeah, like we're the starting table. We hand out all the maps, all the goodie bags to start, koozies for your drinks and things like that. And then, that's how we do it. It's pretty awesome.
That sounds amazing. I'm like cookies and booze. Like what could be better?
Why
than
not?
That,
you know?
Like little elf and Christmas vacation. Like I'm here for it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. A really good one. It's always interesting to hear, like, cause I feel like, you know, people will do a lot of similar events, you know, like you do the Christmas party or pictures with Santa or food drive or whatever. And so like we have the ones that we do, but I always love talking to people that have farmed for a while or that have worked, you know, pretty deep in neighborhoods that like do really cool community-based things. That's awesome. Yeah. I love that.
Thank you.
I love that. All right. We talked about this a little bit already, but, you know, if you were a brand new agent and just got your license today, what would your advice be to that brand new agent?
My advice would be to, I guess we kind of touched on it, but really to join a team. Like it's so hard to do this business alone. And I think that's maybe something that a lot of us as realtors getting at, like starting out, it's like, we want to do it alone, right? We want to be the number one agent, possibly like all of that, but it's like so powerful to work in numbers and with people who want to be around you and support you. So like find your people, and you know, be open, right? Be coachable and know that like this business is really not that hard. It's just a matter of locking down your schedule, time blocking, make time for those redundant activities that are going to become so boring. You're going to question why you started this business or got into this business.
Yeah,
that's what's going to make you successful. So really just, you know, lean into the boring activities, go to work every day and find your tribe. Yeah.
Well, and I think that that's a big thing with teams that like you get that accountability, right? And you get that, you know, kind of community mindset around some of the things that suck. You know, it's like, okay, if we're all making calls, like, you know, it's a lot better than like if you're sitting staring at your computer all alone kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I didn't fully understand that when I first got licensed on my own. You know, I just kind of put my head down and got to work. Mm-hmm. But, you know, looking back on it now, I'm like, I wonder what could have been different, you know, if I would have joined a team, you know, to start out. So
yeah,
I feel you there for sure. I love that.
Awesome.
Okay. So I'm going to hit you with one last hard hitting question.
Oh man. Okay.
all right. So it is, if it was your last meal on earth, what would you be eating?
Ooh, macaroni and cheese.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. A weakness.
Do you have like a homemade thing or is just like, that's like your go-to side if you see it on a menu?
Like, no, my go-to side if I see it on a menu, but you know, when I'm feeling like eating outside of my meal plan, but yeah.
Yeah. No one, I've had a couple people like answer this with like, you know, a salad or this or that. Like, it's just my meal I eat every day. I'm like, no, if it's your last meal, you got to go
your last
like,
meal. Yeah. And a red velvet, and a red velvet cupcake. I love red velvet. Yeah.
Do you guys have nothing bun cakes near you?
We do. Yeah.
Their red velvet little bun teenies are so good.
So good. They're so good. Yeah.
Always a fan. All right, Jamie, thank you so much for your time today. I truly appreciate you. If someone wanted to connect with you on social media, what's the best place for them to connect with you?
Anywhere, Instagram, Facebook, all over, just Jamie Seneca and it should come up. Yeah.
Awesome. Good deal. Awesome. Well, I appreciate it and look forward to hopefully seeing you in person sometime soon.
Yeah, me too. Thank you so much. It was great being on here. I appreciate you.